This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
And welcome back to People First Radio. I'm Jan and I'm here with Kevin. We're hosting a Frontline Services Roundtable today in three segments. We're joined by City of Nanaimo Social Planner John Horn, Mid-Island Canadian Mental Health Association Executive Director Christina Martins, and Rob Stewart of the First Unitarian Fellowship's Social Responsibility Committee.
Rob Stewart, First Unitarian Fellowship has been operating cold and wet weather shelter for the first time this winter. Tell us about that experience.
Hi, Kevin. First of all, it was an extreme weather program, and there's a subtle difference.
Okay.
The extreme weather program actually shuts down when the temperature rises above minus 2 at night. The cold, wet weather program didn't.
Okay.
So we all felt, running the program, that we should switch back to cold, wet weather. We hated seeing people out on the street when it was one below and rainy and snowy, and accumulation of snow or prolonged rain was also. It was, we had to call it in accordance with the BC housing criteria, and we'd like that to change. But apart from that, we did have 50 volunteers and over 50 nights open during the winter.
Yes. Tell us more, just briefly, about the criteria that you had to operate under and how you'd like to see that change in the coming year or so.
Well, the criteria, one of the task force was chosen to call it so we didn't have any kind of confusion, and that worked very well. The criteria was set out so that below minus 2 or prolonged rainfall or accumulation of snow would be cause for calling it. And it was called in accordance with those guidelines. And that was based on the funding is based on those guidelines. Another program is it's open from December 1st through to May 31st every night. Mm-hmm. And that makes more sense.
John Horn, you're very aware of funding arrangements, which can be very complex and don't always seem to make sense. What have you observed in this last year in terms of your position in the social planning part of the community?
Well, first, my hat's off to the Unitarian Church for the stalwart effort they made through this winter. It was a long, cold winter, and I think they probably didn't anticipate 50 nights worth of extreme weather, but they got 50 nights, so so good for them, you know. And certainly we access the extreme weather shelter program through BC Housing, which financially supports that particular program. And unfortunately, they don't have the old cold, wet weather strategy, which we used to use. So you have to kind of tailor your winds to the prevailing winds, or tailor your sails to the prevailing winds in terms of money. But I think we can find a way around those things and look at how we might do it in a different manner. So there's other funding streams that don't come with those kind of criteria attached to them, and we might look at those in the future and see what we can do there.
Christina Martins, you work with Canadian Mental Health Association. Have you observed any particular, let's say, challenges with respect to the way these programs are offered and operated in the community from the perspective of people that are working with others who have mental illness?
Well, it is very difficult to tell someone that at minus 2 you can come in and at minus 1 you can't. And it is a very hard decision to have to make. And so we did notice, you know, an increase of people trying to get into the Balmoral to sleep in the lobby, to warm up, to be in the hallways. And so that was difficult, too, because then what do you do with people once they're in, and what do you do with people when they're trying to get in? So it's a fairly limited program that doesn't meet the needs of the Nanaimo. So we have to figure out where the funding can come so that next winter we don't have this problem.
Rob Stewart, one more question about this particular shelter experience that you've had and the shelter that you have offered out of the Unitarian Fellowship space. And once again, I may be getting these shelter types confused. Will there be shelter offered during summer months that are extremely wet or spring months? And if not, when do you anticipate next opening?
The program that we were addressing was a winter program only.
Okay.
We will try to address it because we have accumulated a workforce of 50 volunteers, which is a major resource. What we will not have is the space to offer next year. So we're trying to form a committee to figure out what we're going to be able to do for shelter for 2010. And that's where we're at now.
Yes. Once again, a question of space and of finding a location. Jen.
Christina, recent news reports have stated that the Vancouver Island Health Authority won't be able to provide funding for round-the-clock support at the new Balmoral Project. Can you tell us what's happening there?
Well, the notice that I got was that in the 2008-09 fiscal year, which is the year that just ends at the end of this month, there wasn't any extra funds to provide the 24/7 staffing that we need at the Balmoral. Now, in light of that, the local office of Nanaimo Mental Health and Addictions reorganized some of their staffing. And so we do have staffing in the Balmoral 24/7. Some of it is VHA staff, and some of it is security staff overnight, and some of it is our administrative staff during the day. The optimal piece is to have 24/7 staffing that supports the tenants. So housing and tenancy support people on all three shifts. So security is great overnight, but it only goes part way. It only maintains the security of the building. We haven't had notice yet that for 2009-10 there won't be funding, but we're not really holding out a lot of hope. There's a lot of pressure on the health authority in terms of what their money is used for. But, you know, we really do feel that this is the preliminary step in the overall homelessness plan for Nanaimo, these 20 beds, and they house some of the hardest to house people with the most complex difficulties. And so we really think that this has to be a priority in the health authority's funding for the rest of the island. Victoria has these kind of funds for their shelters. Nobody north of Victoria really does. And I think it's about time that that was fixed.
How you've just recently opened for business, basically. How is it going?
Well, in all new programs, there's hiccups and there's excellent responses. And we've been welcomed into the neighborhood. We have had some problems with people from the street accessing the Balmoral. So we're addressing those through all of our security measures, security systems, doors. Those things all take time to get implemented. So we're in the process of doing that. The tenants have been incredibly patient with the massive amounts of renovations that are going on in areas other than their suites. And we're hoping that we have a grant into the Canada Mortgage and Housing to finish off the renovations of the actual suites. So we're very hopeful that we'll get funding through the federal government for that. We have brought in people off the street. You know, people who used to be sleeping in the doorways in different places in Nanaimo are now living in the Balmoral. And overall, I think it's been very, very successful in that. It's a huge lifestyle change for the people who are already living in the Balmoral in terms of letting people in. Because we don't, you know, it's one of those things. You get a couple of warnings if you are consistently letting people in who don't belong. And you can be evicted. That said, however, these are people's apartments, much like any market rental apartment in Nanaimo. They are allowed to have company. They are allowed to have friends over. They are allowed to have people in. It's the managing the impact of those people on everybody else that is the place of tension. Mm-hmm. And that's a work in progress.
What do you think, John? Are you happy with the new development there, finally?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the Balmoral Hotel represents the essence of our strategy going forward and how we want to respond to homelessness. And equally with Christina and the staff there, we share the concern that should we continue to build these kind of units and to put folks like this into housing, then we're going to need support services, and VHA is the logical entity to provide that. So we really would hope going forward that they're going to be at the table and be able to provide that staffing support to these facilities, because there's that balance between helping those who are really distressed and also minding the quality of life for the neighborhood. And we have to find an appropriate balance, and that staffing piece is a really critical part of that. So,
Rob, what's your comment on that, on the Balmoral?
The Balmoral is a low to minimal barrier facility, which is probably the most dire need. When you go to a cocktail party and talk about homelessness, or to anybody reacting to homelessness, they think that we need to house these people. Housing isn't really the issue. These are people incapable of existing in housing on their own without incredible levels of support. What's missing is the low and minimal. There's a difference. Minimal is probably a wet facility, someplace that they can imbibe take drugs. A low barrier is one that they can come in intoxicated or on drugs but not use on the facility. Minimal barrier is the bottom line. It's the line that has the hardest to deal with and the most dire need. They are extremely at risk. So kudos for doing it, John Horn and Christina. That's a program that we really need, and it's fantastic.
According to an article in yesterday's Nanaimo Daily News, the only medical detox facility in Central and North Vancouver Island is facing funding challenges. Clearview Center's Executive Director, Catherine Gao, is on the phone with us. Welcome to People First Radio, Catherine.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hello there. Catherine, tell us more about your funding concerns. And I understand there may be you may be less concerned now than before. I'm not sure.
Well, first of all, I'd like to, Kevin, commend everyone who's on your panel today for the excellent work they do in the community, and I've at one time or another certainly worked with most of them. And, you know, over the years, all of us has had to be creative and work together because there has been such a glaring lack of funding north of the Malahat for mental health and addiction services. And it's gotten to the point, I feel, where we have hit the wall. We cannot become any more creative than we already have. We need funding. VHA promised the funding to our region, and, you know, I wonder, did they promise it because they promised the funding and gave the funding already to Capital Region and then thought, oh, there's going to be a big outcry if we don't promise some funding for North Island. So then they did that, and was there ever any money? That's what I'm starting to wonder, because certainly a good portion of that funding could come to us now that's not tied into specific housing projects such as the downtown expansion of the downtown crisis team, the development of an assertive community treatment team, and a health access center. And certainly Christina's, the Balmoral Hotel, definitely needs a level of staffing that is going to provide health and safety for the clients and for the workers. Our financial situation due to gaming, and I know that other nonprofits are in the same boat. They changed the eligibility requirements for gaming several years ago. I'm not quite sure why, probably to save money, I would expect. But that's affected those of us who received gaming funding. So now we have had to slash our budget by $60,000 for the upcoming fiscal, and if anything should go wrong, which things always do, we will be in a very serious financial situation.
Catherine, I'm wondering if I could just interrupt you there. I'd like to bring Christina Martins in on this. Christina, your further thoughts on the funding scenarios that have been discussed here.
Well, Catherine's right. In 2007, when VHA announced the $7.6 million for homelessness initiatives in Victoria, they stated that the same amount and level of funding would be available north of the Malahat. And I know that mental health offices up and down the island developed plans based on that and submitted them. And, you know, it's the level of need is equal in every community based on their population size. Mm. And in a way, we've been penalized for our creativity because we have worked very hard in conjunction in the communities to develop programs that meet the need, and yet the funding never follows. And now, you know, when people bring up how creative we've been, it's almost like, well, you know, you seem to be doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that we're not doing fine.
Mm. Exactly. I couldn't put it better myself, Christina. You know, we just cannot be any more creative. The fact that with our Nanaimo clients leaving detox, over half of them are going to be returning to the same homeless or unsafe environment that they were in prior to coming in for service, it's abhorrent. And really, I think it's a disgrace to our system of care.
John Horn, I'm wondering if you can contribute something on the funding issue without necessarily putting yourself in a difficult place. I know that you work, in a sense, with politicians, but also with a level of government.
Right. Well, as a level of government, I'm keenly aware that, you know, our own revenues have considerably diminished, and that's strictly speaking for the city of Nanaimo, but certainly gaming revenues have diminished across the country, and so that's put a hole in some of the traditional funding streams, certainly. And so while I'm mindful that there are constraints, you know, one of the things that is that urban poverty is much more complex than it used to be. So to rely on communities, as Rob has mentioned, he has 50 volunteers, and that's terrific. But we're dealing with quite complex stuff here and very difficult individuals in distressed circumstances. So I think it's rather unfair to expect that a community has the resources within it to meet those needs without support of senior governments. And I think that's going to be it's going to come back to haunt us if we don't have that.
Catherine, we have to say goodbye, but we appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's been a great show, and I hope lots of people are listening and going to gang up on, or not gang up on, pardon me. Of course, I didn't mean that, did I, John? Did I mean gang up on?
Your agenda has come crystal clear all of a sudden.
Work together in a good way to find solutions to this very difficult problem.
Okay, thank you, Catherine Gell.
Thanks a lot.
And I'm wondering, Rob Stewart, if you would close us out on this particular segment. I'm wondering if you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with us on what you've heard today around the funding challenges. And I think, as John Horn very carefully pointed out there, too, that 50 volunteers, notwithstanding 50 volunteers, there are certain things you can do without funding from the government and other things you can't do.
Well, we were in a dangerous position where we were exposed to liability and doing stuff that we really shouldn't have been doing, that the amount of proactive care that we assumed was awesome because of the need that was there, that people couldn't stand when they came in. They needed help undressing, changing, cleaning, getting dressed again. This is not a job for volunteers. They need to be trained properly. So it needs to be better monitored, better funded, better looked at. Is our responsibility as a society to start looking after these people that are so at risk? We can't walk by them on the street.
Okay. Thanks very much to all of you, all three of you, for joining us today. It went by far too quickly, but we'll speak with you again. Thank you. And this is People First Radio. We're hosting roundtable discussion about frontline social and support services in Nanaimo. We were joined in our second segment by City of Nanaimo social planner John Horn, Mid-Island Canadian Mental Health Association Executive Director Christina Martins, Clearview Center's Executive Director Catherine Gao, and Rob Stewart of the First Unitarian Fellowship's Social Responsibility Committee. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Open Minds, Open Windows Society, both of Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations.